We're going to have some speakers here, and it's about chaplaincy and what chaplains do in school. And so we should be really encouraged to hear that they are looking after our kids with a godly eye upon them. So I'd like to welcome to the stand Steph Sanderson.
Morning, everyone. We have a number of chaplains with us today, so could they just stand up? Very good looking row there. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we actually have Natalie. She's my boss, as I call her to the kids. When she comes to visit, I say to the kids, my boss is coming. Say really good things about me. And they always do. So she's our area chaplain. She looks after us really well. So for those of you that don't know me, my name's Steph. I'm also called Steffi or Steffi Weffi, depending on the relationship I have with my kids at school. And then I've got one little boy who calls me Steffi Weffi, so I call him Noe Owe because his name's Noah. So there you go. I'm a chaplain at Maddington School, the one on the highway, and that's actually my primary school that I went to a very long time ago. Hasn't changed very much. I've worked there 4 days a week. And I work at Canning Vale in the Education Support Centre 1 day a week, which is very different to working in a mainstream school. It was actually Gary Butcher who introduced me to chaplaincy and really encouraged me to apply. I kept saying no, no, no. Of course, my first thought was, I'm not good enough. Why would I become a chaplain? But I thought, okay, give it a go. And I actually got in. And the rest, they say, is history. So at Maddington, I'm called upon to do lots of different things. It could be to help a child who's having a meltdown. We've had quite a few of them in kindy the last couple of weeks, which has been very interesting. A child who's being sick. I'll clean up vomit and things like that quite often. Or a child that's just being stubborn and won't do what they're told. I provide support in the classroom for the teachers. We've got a number of kids that need extra help in class for behaviour, or we have some kids with disabilities in the mainstream and they have an education assistant with them, and I back them up because usually there's behaviour that goes along with that. I run whole classroom programs, resilience, how to make friends, grief and loss, which is really a big one. Some kids we know about. Other kids you don't know, and they're the ones that are usually suffering more because they're doing it in silence. And all the things that we experience in life. The kids really like me going to their classroom, and they always ask me when I'm coming in. We've got several families that struggle at school. Breakfast one day, some kids were talking about what they're allergic to. One family of kids said to me, my dad is allergic to stupid people. And they actually believed it was a legitimate allergy, along with asthma and different things like that. So they're the families that we have at school. Didn't say anything, though. That particular family came to Maddington a couple of years ago, and they moved into the flats across the road, and we thought they won't be here for very long, but they've been at school for 2 years. They need lots and lots of help and support. So I gave them uniforms, food, bags, you know, backpack bags, stationery, lunch every day, recess every day, breakfast every day. The list just goes on and on and on. Some of the kids actually didn't like coming to school, so we used all our powers of persuasion, bribery, corruption, anything that we had to get them to come to school. Bit of a journey, took us all last year to get the kids to come to school. They were happy to come to school, and then Dad got out of jail and took them back to Meriden. All our hard work just down the drain. Mum was left with a baby and a three-year-old. The three-year-old, he's at kindy now, so the help continues. We've got lots of families that have come from other countries. We've got over 33 different languages spoken by the kids at school. And the principal did the census only the beginning of the week, and 50% of our families are from overseas. That's half. That's huge for Maddington. So we've got lots of multicultural families, lots of different religions too. I get on really well with all the kids. We have adult English classes. which I've got a grant from the City of Gosnell, so they run every Friday, and so lots of parents can come and learn to speak English, because that's a big barrier. They can't communicate with the school. If we try to ring a parent and say your child's had an accident, they don't understand, and you don't have time to get an interpreter, so that can cause lots of issues. I've spent lots of time in kindy, lots of kids crying and upset, lots of kids going into the toilet and not wanting to come out, which has been really interesting. So very patiently I sit there and ask them to come. Had one little boy the first day of kindy, kept saying, bye, bye. That's the only word he could say in English. He wanted me to leave, obviously, didn't want me to get him out. But we encouraged him with a little bit of force and got him out of the toilet, and he joined in and he was really happy. So interesting. 3 years ago, we had a family arrive at Maddington. They just suddenly lost their dad to a really short illness. The little boy was in year three. The little girl was in year five. They had to move house because they lost their income. They had to move schools. They lost all their friends. And they moved in with their grandparents. So they came to school and we helped with, you know, grief and loss and things like that, talking about what had happened to dad. And the boy, who's now in year six, he has really severe anxiety. Every day is a struggle for him to come to school. I know the family really, really well. I get on really well with mum. And we've spent all last year, baby steps, trying to encourage him to come to school. He's allowed to go into my office anytime he needs to at recess and lunch and ring mum, which he does daily. She waits in the car park at the back of the school quite often all day, just to be close by if he needs her. But this week just gone, we had a breakthrough. He actually came to school every day. He only rang mum once for the whole week, and he was happy and smiling. And mum's going, I don't know what's happened, I don't know what's happened. So she's really, really excited that he's now hopefully on track to being able to cope with anxiety. And now she can work through her own grief, which she's put on the back burner to help her kids. So, you know, she struggled as well, losing her husband. So that's been a really positive thing. And the older girl who's now in high school, I bumped into her on the veranda when she was picking up her brother, and she said to me, it's really helpful to have people to talk to that know exactly what you're going through, that have been through it as well. So, you know, we've all experienced things in our life. You know, some people have had more problems and bad things happen than others. But everything bad that happens to you can benefit someone else, because you know exactly how they feel. And I thought that was really remarkable that she was able to say that, that it's really helped her as she's come to terms with the loss of her dad and everything else. So be encouraged, people that have had different problems and things happen. You know, God will use it for good. I've done all that. Please pray for us. It's the last year of funding. So our funding runs out at the end of the year. I'm pretty fortunate at Maddington. Maddington bank a lot of money. So, and we have local business that supports me. So even if there's no funding, I'll be able to continue there, which is fantastic, because it costs a lot of money to have quality chaplains at school. please pray for the principals too. You know, they do it really tough. They're educators primarily. My principal at Maddington has been a teacher, a deputy and principal, but she's actually a CEO of a corporation called Maddington Primary School. It's very different to how it used to be. You know, they're given a pot of money, as she always calls it, and they have to pay for everything out of that pot of money. And it's hard going. You know, you've got to get staff, you've got to meet all your bills, all your requirements, and they really, really need prayer and support. So it's the best job in the world. I wouldn't change it for anything. Thank you, Gary, for encouraging me. And something that I just love doing, people that ask me on the door on Sunday if I'm looking forward to going back to school after the holidays, yes, I can't wait. Can't wait to see the kids and how much they've grown. They've all grown a foot over the holidays and they're so tall now. So I hand it to Gary. Thank you. We can't miss Gary. He likes to be noticed.
I need two volunteers. Come on. Otherwise, I might... Okay, one. I need... And maybe a female. Female volunteer. Come on. All right. Okay, do you know each other? Okay, what's your name? Jacob. How are you going, Jacob? What's your name?
Amy.
I know that. Jacob, this is Amy. Amy, this is Jacob. Okay. What I'd like you to do is stand together, okay, facing each other. Okay. When I say one, I want you to put your left hand out in front of you like that. Okay, one. When I say two, I want you to get the finger of your right hand and place it on your partner's palm. Two. Now, this is the aim of the game. When I say three, I want you to try and grab your partner's finger with your left hand and pull your finger out with your right hand. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, put your hands down. Here we go. One, two, three. Okay, and again. One, two, three. Okay, well done. You're both very good. You can sit down now. Thank you. All right. Did everyone see that? What I want you to do now, stand up, find a partner, and we're going to play the game. Let's go. Everyone standing up. Okay. One. Two. Three. And again. One. Two. Three. One more time. One. Two. Three. All right, everyone's sitting down. Okay. Why did I do that? Okay. I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting listening to someone for about an hour, and you're going to have listening to about four people for an hour, I guarantee some of you are going to lose a bit of concentration. So it's like with children. Children have got a limited lifespan, so you've got to throw in these sort of game. Lifespan, no. Memory span. Memory. Concentration span. And so that's one of the games that I just do just to break it up. So do you all feel relaxed now? Are you ready? Okay. All right. Before I start, I'm going to invite Grace to come up, if she'd like to come up quickly. She just mentioned to me that she's got some involvement with Real Life Church and she just wants to say a few words.
Thank you, Gary. Yeah. Hi, I'm Grace from Gosnells Primary School and I just wanted to say a huge thank you because I bring a lot of parents here for your Friday morning morning teas and I send them up on Wednesdays and your kids club that you had last year. So I just wanted to say a huge thank you because some of these mums are just so lonely. They've got nothing else to do but drop the kids off. And to come here to have that lovely morning tea and this beautiful people who are just being a friend to them. So, yeah, I just wanted to say a huge thank you. So, yeah.
Okay. We're in partnership together. You know, all the chaplains that are here today, and in fact, and I'll go to my slides. Okay, there's actually now I've heard it's up to about 400 chaplains in Western Australia, and that's a picture that was taken in January when we went on our chaplaincy formation a couple of days at the university. So all of those people there, they're all chaplains. They're all working in state schools, and they're all being Christ, if you like, in those communities. But each one of those chaplains are actually linked to a community of Christians in their area. And really, in one sense, chaplains are like a brokerage. Okay, for us, it's about us connecting the school community with the local churches. We represent the local churches, all of them. And that's important for us to do that. We can't do it on our own. So your prayers and your physical support, and I'll talk a little bit about that as we go on. So who am I? I'm one of the 400 chaplains. I'm at the moment 3 days a week at East Maddington Primary School and 2 days a week at Chalice Community Primary School, which is in Armidale. Actually, my wife works at Chalice as well, but that's not the real reason why I'm there at the moment. Okay. I first became a school chaplain in 1991 at Belmont Senior High School. So I left in 2008 and restarted in 2013. And this is my 23rd year as a school chaplain. And still going. Okay. Why? Okay. Simple. God put a strong desire in me to work with young people, and the obvious place was in a school. Okay, I was the local youth group leader at my local church, and I wanted to spend more time with young people, and it was obvious that, well, if you want to spend time with young people, you go to a school. So I made inquiries how to get involved in the school. That led me to do a youth work degree at Edith Cowan University. While I was doing my uni, the whole chaplaincy movement started. And in fact, when I started officially as a chaplain, there was only 30 chaplains in the state. So God has done an amazing thing over these years. Okay, so 30 from 1991 to over 400 in today. So that's great. We can give God the glory for that. Okay. You would know this scripture. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." So let's just talk about East Maddington Primary School. At East Maddington Primary School, there are 409 students, according to the records, and they are kindy through to year 6, and that's ages 4 through to 11. Okay, and like Steph, it's interesting, exactly the same statistic, we have 33 different language groups represented at the school. And we connect with people from all over the world. It's just a real privilege to do that. So there's a picture of our staff. Okay, that was last year's picture. Put your hand up if you can see me. I'm right at the top on the right-hand side. Okay, I'm actually losing weight at the moment, so I'm doing pretty well. Anyway, so what do I do at East Maddington Primary School? So at the beginning of each year, I meet with the school administration and develop a local agreement between myself, youth care, and the school. And in this local agreement, we identify social issues that require pastoral care and support, and then develop plans and goals to meet to address them. So for me, the two issues that we've identified at the school, the first one is friendship and social issues amongst students, and secondly, adverse family circumstances that arise and impact on the social and emotional well-being of students. So they're the two social issues that I respond to. And so this is how I respond. Okay, so the first issue, friendship and social issues amongst students. Firstly, I provide one-on-one pastoral conversation with students experiencing friendships and or social issues. Provide mediation between students experiencing conflict. Okay, be highly visible at recess and lunch for students and staff to self-refer. That's where why I'm wearing my high vest viz, because it's my standard uniform. Okay, so when you're walking around before school, during recess and lunch, everyone can see you. They know who you are. So parents, when they're coming dropping their kids off at school, you know, this is why I wear my vest. And it's important that I have chaplain on the back of it and on the front so they can see it. And that often initiates conversations. Would I normally wear my high vest to church? No. But because it's chaplaincy focused today, I thought I'd do it. So Natalie, my boss, suggested I wear it on the train this morning to get a few comments, but I know I had it in my bag. Okay, and so present 3 45-minute primary to high school transition sessions to year 6 students in term 4. I used to be the chaplain at Armidale Senior High School. I was there for 13 years, so I know what it's like to work in a high school. And so I've developed a program that I work with the year sixes to encourage them and hopefully decrease their anxiety about going to a new school. So that's something else I do. Okay. So let's just focus on be highly visible at recess and lunch for students and staff to self-refer. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. Sort of links in, doesn't it? You are a light of you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Okay, next issue. Adverse family circumstances that arise and impact on the social and emotional well-being of students. So firstly, Facilitate social emotional programs as required. So I've developed some RISE groups, which is where I get 4 to 6 students from a classroom, and I work with them and I help them develop their social skills. We do different things that really just builds up their self-worth. Drumbeat, I'm starting that this year. I'm really looking forward to it, but I'm not very good musically with my rhythm, so I'm going to have to practice lots and lots and lots. But my chalice school paid $1,000 for me to become a facilitator, so I can't really let them down. So I need to practice a lot. Okay, and then of course there's Choose Respect as well, so doing Choose Respect stuff in the school. Coordinate emergency lunches. I'm amazed at how many students come to school without lunches. And some students come to school with mouldy bread, you know. And so one of the things that I do is actually just coordinate, you know, make up a round of sandwiches during the week, stick it in the freezer, and then that allows teachers to get it. Assist with Breakfast Club on Tuesday. Organise Christmas hampers for families in December. Provide families with practical support where appropriate. Link families with local community organisations who provide support and resources. So I've got the resource list that Rochelle gives out, and one of my roles is to actually, you know, when I meet a family that needs something, I'll refer them here to Real Life Church. And so I'm a brokerage. So I'm if you like, I'm an outreach worker. I'm a missionary to the local primary school. Okay. Anyway. So organise Christmas hampers. Let's focus on that. Okay. And one of my favourite parables, the parable of the sheep and the goats. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Okay. It's just practical stuff. And by the way, those 60 Christmas hampers that I gave out were actually from Real Life Church. So remember last year when you brought in your Christmas presents or your Christmas hampers, okay? 16 of those packages came to me, and how I selected students was I went around to all the staff, all the classes, and I said, who do you think would benefit from a Christmas hamper? They gave me names. I rang them up, so it created an opportunity for me to connect with the families. And then I organised for them to come and pick up the Christmas hamper. And what was fantastic was that every single family, no exception, they were all so appreciative. And they really needed that Christmas hamper to make life a little bit easier for them. So you had a part to play in that. So well done, Real Life Church. Let's move on. Okay, Galatians 6. Provide families with practical support where appropriate. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I just want to share a story that happened this week, last week, because this week hasn't come yet, last week. And the principal came to me first thing in the morning, and she mentioned to me that there was a lady who was a refugee, and she was having trouble coming to school. She had a kindy child, which is a very young child, probably 3 or 4 years old, and a baby. The principal wanted me to meet with her, so I did. She had the baby sort of tied on her back, and I didn't see the younger child because she was already in class. But what I discovered it was that she actually had to walk about 35 minutes to get to school. So she's walking a little child, and she's got a baby on her back, and she's really saying, you know, it's not actually the coming to school, it's the going home after school in the heat. And she was almost crying, saying, I just don't know what to do. And that, so, hey, there's a need. Okay, so during the day I rushed around and I was able to source a stroller for them. Okay, so by the end of the day, she had a stroller, and she was able to use a stroller to sort of go home. And you know what was the amazing thing she said to me? When I handed over the stroller to her, she said to me, God bless you. I'm supposed to be blessing you. No. But as we give, we receive. And I just felt the hand of God in that little illustration, that example. And that happens all the time. For all our all of us as chaplains, we just seem to be in the right place at the right time. God uses us to bless and minister to others. And if you like, we are God's hands and God's feet. So I finish off with I don't know if you can read this, but at the beginning of school, I went to my pigeonhole and I found this Christmas card. And I just was really encouraged by it. It was actually from the deputy principal, my inline manager. And you probably can't read it, but I can't from here, so I'll go over here. Dear Gary, thank you for your support and continuous hard work at EPS, that's East Maddington. Your ongoing work with our families has been amazing. Hoping you have a well-earned rest, a wonderful Christmas and an outstanding new year. That really blessed me when I received that, you know. So my deputy recognises the work that I do. But I want to finish off with a challenge before I hand over to Michael. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So my question to you this morning is, what is God calling you to? All those years ago, I was only in my early 20s, God called me to be involved in chaplaincy. And that has God's fulfilled that. It took me about 9 years to become a chaplain, that journey. But I knew that God had called me to be a chaplain. And so my question is, what is God calling you to? And secondly, what good works has God prepared for you to do? He's already prepared them. You've just got to find out what they are and do them. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you. Just like Steph, I saw Steph's potential. In fact, she's gone far beyond any potential I saw. But God is needing quality people in schools. And in fact, I've noticed on the Youth Care website, there's a need for more chaplains. And as Steph mentioned as well, I was 24 when I became a chaplain, and I look back and I think I was green behind the ears. I had no life experience. I had enthusiasm, and it's only been my life's journey that's actually taught me how to become a good chaplain. And I've experienced life, but I don't want to take up the time. And I know that each one of you, you've experienced life too. And God will use those life experiences to minister and help others. So I want to encourage you with that. I'll finish with that because I only had 10 minutes. So let me invite Michael Kingsford. Michael is the deputy at Thornley Christian College. Now, my friend.
God bless you, Gary. Thanks, Gary. Gary and I went to the same school together, which was Belmont High School. We used to jokingly say, and David was the same, jokingly say, can anything good come out of Belmont High School? Anybody else ever went there? Yeah, some Lucy, yes. We actually went to a reunion recently. That was interesting. I just want to share a few things with you about what Gary was just referring to, and that is, what does God want us to be doing? And so we often talk about being a missions-minded church. And we've been hearing about the important work of chaplaincy. We've been seeing the work that Pastor David and Rochelle are involved in at the moment in Pakistan. But I'm wondering, what do you think it means when we say a missions-minded church? Any ideas? And I'm opening up the floor. This is, Eleanor. Outreach to community and the world. That's good. I like that. What else? What do you think of when we say the words mission-minded church? What does it mean for you? What are you hearing when you hear those words? Helping others. Yes, it is. What else? Sport. I thought you said sport. Okay. Support. I've got to get my hearing checked. Yes, sir. That's exactly where I'm going. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. Would you mind saying that again for us? Would you mind standing up, sir, and just repeating exactly what you just said? That's right. In fact, that's what I want to talk about this morning, and the idea that we should live questionable lives. Now, often if I say that, you're thinking of the negative. Oh my goodness, what are they up to today? But really, seriously, we should live questionable lives. people should be asking questions when they observe what we do and what we say and the way we behave and saying, what is it with that person? Why do they respond to difficulty the way that they do? Why are they always encouraging others? Why do they always sit with me in the lunchroom even though I know I'm a bit of a horrible person? Why do they do that? And you should be able to answer the question. In fact, Peter says that we should be able to give an answer for anybody asks us about the hope that we have within us. And that's for all of us. But I want to go a little bit further. I want to ask another question. Why do we come to church? And there are lots of answers, so you probably know lots of them. Why are we here this morning? There are a number of reasons. And again, I'll just open it up. Why are we here this morning? To meet with Jesus. Very good. That's probably the most important thing we could be doing. Yes. What else? Why else are we here? Yep, to meet together and encourage each other. There are other reasons why we're here this morning. Deb? To worship God. That's a very important reason. In fact, every reason that's been mentioned is important. What else? We're here for something extremely important that ties in with what my friend just said. Aha, we're here to learn. We're here to be equipped, it says in Ephesians 4, for the works of ministry. Because as Gary was sharing, we've got things that God wants us to do. And so we gather together so we can have an equipping so that we can go out as those that are sent into the works of ministry that God has called us to do. So when we think about being a missions-minded church, that's everybody. It's not just people who are chaplains. It's not just people who happen to be working in a foreign land or within the local community, but it's every single one of us. Every single one of us is an ambassador for Christ. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we have a ministry of reconciliation. So, we should live questionable lives. Now, practically, what might that mean for us? There's a book that was written, and you'll forgive me, I don't remember the author's name, but there's an acronym I want to share with you, and it's the word BELLS. And so, BELLS are going to help us to be a missions-minded church. So, BELLS. Can anybody spell BELLS for me? Very good. It wasn't too difficult. I'm sure that the coming spelling bees will go well beyond BELLS. So, the first one, B. B stands for bless. I want you to think about someone in this room right now that you could bless, whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's an act of service, showing that person love or encouragement, what it might be. Who would that person be? Just have a look around the room. Maybe it's the person next to you. How could you bless someone? It could be just a smile. That's not going to cost you very much. Maybe a little bit of energy. And now I want you to think about somebody in your family. It could be a note that you leave them in a lunchbox. Someone in your family. Now, some of us have got big families, so that's easy. And some of us have very small families. And sometimes we have extended families that include friends. So think of somebody in that category that's not in this room. How could I bless that person? And finally, I want you to think about someone you know who is not a Christian. Maybe you see them regularly, but they're not allowed to be in your family, and they're not allowed to be in this, not allowed to be in this room. Who might that be? Maybe it's a work colleague. You know, the Bible says that we're actually meant to bless people who curse us and pray for people who despitefully use us. Many of you are working in hostile environments. You understand what Jesus means when he says that. It's not easy to bless someone and encourage someone that is your enemy or they treat you really badly. But Jesus calls us to do that. When we do that, we're living questionable lives. Why would you do that? The next one is to eat. You know, there are many stories in the Bible about people eating together. My favorite story is the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a short fellow, that was good. When it came to job interviews, he always made the shortlist. And in this story, you're going somewhere with that one, aren't you? Hey? In this story, he climbs a tree because he can't see what's going on. Jesus comes by with lots of people following him. He says, Zacchaeus. He doesn't say, repent of all your sins, you filthy, written, horrible person. He actually says, come down out of that tree. We're going to your place for tea. And they have a meal there, and we know the story. During that meal, Zacchaeus says, all the things that I've swindled people of, I give them all back and more. And so the other story I'm reminded of is the Laodicean church in the book of Revelation, where Jesus talks about the knocking on the door and wanting to come and eat together. He's not talking to non-Christians, although the verse is often used that way. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, then open the door and let them come in. Let me come in and I will sup with them and they with me. The emphasis is actually on fellowship with the church that was lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. But I want you to think now, who might you eat with that is in this room? And when I say eat, I don't necessarily sit down to a banquet. It could be a cup of coffee. It could be just even sitting having a glass of water together. Or it could be a full meal. So who could you eat with? Have a look around the room. Who would you like to have a meal with? Who would you like to have coffee with? Now I want you to think about somebody in your family. Not the people you live with, but someone you don't live with. Who could I have a meal with that I could fellowship together with them? And finally, I want you to think about someone you know that's a non-Christian. Maybe it's like I said before, somebody that you work with in that hostile environment that you intentionally sit down and have a meal together. Do you know there's only one group of people that the Bible tells us that we shouldn't have a meal with? Does anybody know who that group is? It's actually the people that proclaim to be Christians, but they live such a lifestyle that they bring dishonor to the body of Christ. And they're teaching people to go off and do the wrong thing. False teachers. They're the people that we shouldn't have a meal together. And the reason for that is because when you have a meal with somebody, you're bonding with them, you're communicating with them, and in a sense, you're connecting with them. And so that's the reason why John says that in one of his letters. So eating together is a way that we build community. So first of all, bless. And a bit of a challenge for this week. Think of three people, one here, one in your family, and one that's a non-Christian that you might bless this week. And then go one step further and say, okay, three people, one that I could have a meal or a drink or whatever the case with here, in my family, and somebody that's a non-Christian. So that could be six different people that you are ministering to. I would suggest there's a possibility that the good works that God is wanting you to walk in will begin to flourish as you do those things. Next one, because we're going through the word bells. How far have we got? B, bless. E, eat. Now, all the men in the room loved it when I got to the eating part because, as everybody knows, men have feelings too. We feel hungry. But there are now... We're up to the next letter, which is L. L, the first L stands for learn. And I've just talked about the importance of being here to be equipped. But there was a time at another meal where Mary and Martha, and Mary was sitting learning at Jesus' feet, and Martha was rushing around trying to get the meal together. And I think it was David that shared recently that story. What was really interesting was that there was an emphasis on the importance of learning. So one of the things that we can do to help us learn is to be in a community like this one and learn together. When we learn things together, it has amazing power compared to when we learn things by ourselves. When you share things, even that you learn by yourself, and you share them with people around you, it helps that learning to be strengthened. For example, if you read something really inciting as you're going through God's word, and then you come screaming, shouting out of the room, and you're sharing the joy of what you've just found in God's scriptures, that strengthens that learning for yourself. Those of you that work in education would know that that's true. Having children talk about what they're growing to understand is a very important part of the learning process. So, learning will help us to have the right mindset and be equipped to answer those that might question our questionable lives. The next one is to listen. The Bible tells us that we should walk in step with the Spirit. And we need to learn to listen to the voice of God, the promptings of God that say, encourage that person. Take clothing for that person. Visit that person. Share God's love with that person. Whatever the need might be, we need to listen to the promptings of God and not ignore them. Because it's really easy to go, well, they don't know what I'm thinking, so they won't know that I've been prompted, so that way I won't be embarrassed by this particular circumstance that I find myself in. But we need to learn to listen. And when the Bible talks about listening, the implication isn't just about hearing. Listening means hearing and doing. And James teaches us about that, doesn't he? Don't just listen to the word, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word as well. So when we listen to those promptings, if we're serious about being a missions-minded person in a missions-minded church, then we must follow through with the promptings of the Holy Spirit as He leads and guides us into particular circumstances and situations. And then finally, what's the last letter in the word bells? S. Who can guess what that stands for? Close. What was that, sorry? That's a good place to start because you are yourself. And without yourself, you won't be able to do what this is. It has four letters. It's got a T at the end. Nearly. It's got an E in it. Sent. Who said that? There we go. Sent. The idea, someone who is sent is someone on a mission. So you can't be a mission-minded church unless you are a church that has that. You sense that you are sent. So as you go through this equipping, as we gather together as community, from here we are sent out to bless, to eat together with people, so that we're living questionable lives and they're going to wonder what on earth is going on. We don't have to wave a flag around going, look at me, I'm a Christian. We don't need to do that. Because if we are blessing, eating, learning, and listening, and have a sense of being sent, we'll be living questionable lives, and people will wonder, what is going on here? And you know something? All of the chaplains that we have here, and thank you so much for coming along today. It's great to build together in community and share with each other all the wonderful things that God is doing through the work of chaplains in our schools in this state. As we are together, we want to be now sent out. And my prayer for you this morning is that you have a sense that we gather together and then we're sent out. And that happens every week. What it is, well, you'll have to listen. You'll have to listen to God's promptings. But you can be absolutely certain it's going to involve people. Because God is calling us as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors. Now, there's a new ambassador from the United States to Australia that's just been appointed. I think his name is Harry Harris. That may be unfortunate, I'm not sure. But he's representing where he's coming from. And when you are out, after you've been sent out, you are a representative of the kingdom of God and kingdom of God thinking and kingdom of God living. Why do you not do that? Why do you do that? It's because you're a representative of the kingdom. It's not something you have to try to do. That's who you are. Harry Harris is from the United States. He's a US citizen. He lives and breathes US air. And he's going to come here and represent the United States of America. When you go out from this place, you're representing the kingdom of God. You have a ministry of reconciliation, and whether or not you use words, I think it was Francis of Assisi that said we should always preach the gospel wherever we go, and where necessary, use words. Occasionally, that is necessary. All right, so remember, the equipping is so that you can give an answer for the hope that is in you, because it's through that answer that they will have hope as well. So let's pray together. Now, normally, we would get missionaries to come up the front here and we would pray for them to be sent out. Today, let's all stand together and pray for one another that as we are sent out this Sunday morning, that God would help us to be fruitful in blessing others as we share communal meals together with them and they observe our walk and our life with Christ, that it would be fruitful. So let's stand together. I'm going to do something a little bit unusual. I want you to turn and face in any direction except for the front. It doesn't matter which direction it is. And look at all the people you can now see. You probably can see a lot more people when you face this way. And I want you to put your hand up and pray for them as I pray with you. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you, Lord, because you call us into this place to worship you, that we might encourage one another, we might learn together, and that we might be sent out. We want to be a missions-minded church. I pray, we pray for one another, that you would send us out to do the good works that you're calling us to do. That we would be equipped for those good works, for those works of ministry, and that we would live questionable lives. And that through the equipping we've received, Lord, that you would help us to have an answer for everybody that questions the hope that we have within us. So we pray for those, Lord, that you would send and then they would come back with reports of the fruitfulness of their labors throughout this week as we return back to this place again next week. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.